this book. Sometimes I hear people say it's the most commonly read book in Orthodoxy beyond the Bible. I don't know if that's true, and maybe we don't read anything enough as we ought to, but it's really a book written by a monastic to monastics, and the rest of us can benefit, who are not monastic, can benefit because it's really about the spiritual life. Maybe some of the intensity of practices that he recommends in certain contexts have to be modified to be appropriate to family life, but it's the same process of rejecting the fallenness of the world that we're surrounded by and that indwells with us and moving toward love. 30 steps on the ladder, and it begins with the renunciation, turning away from the world, and it ends with love. And so, a great gift to the church, and a great resource for us, especially in our Lenten journey. I just wanted to take some time this morning to reflect on the 27th step. It's called, it's on stillness, inner stillness. For St. John, this inner stillness, he says, is the foundation of, he calls it theology, but what he means by that word is our experience of God, our contemplation of God, our union and communion with God, what it is that we were created for, what it is that we're called to as human beings, this communion, this union, becoming a home of our Creator. And so the stillness is the foundation. And really what he has in mind is something as simple as the psalmist's words, be still and know that I am God. The hustle and bustle and activity of this world, whether it comes in the form of challenges and trials or the form of some kind of overwhelming blessings and gifts, everything can be converted into a distraction from this very simple communion with God, being still. It's much like Elijah, the prophet, who God revealed himself to, not in an earthquake, not in a powerful blowing wind, but in a still small voice. So we won't really be able to commune with God unless we can enter into this stillness. That's how St. John is telling us. And then he tells us very simply what a still person, Hesychus, a person who's striving for this inner stillness is, he says that Hesychus is one who fights to keep the incorporeal self, the soul, the non-bodily part of us, the mind, within the body's home, the house of the body. It's a very beautiful and striking image because if we reflect on it a little bit, we'll just sort of think about what your inner life is like. It's often over here, over there. It's outside of us. Our mind, our thoughts, our yearnings, our desires, they're often outside of us. And what St. John tells us is that we have to pull this back. It's an image that's used frequently in the Father St. Nicodemus of the Holy Mountain in his marvelous book, Spiritual Counsels, talks about this, about our noose is sort of flying all over the place. We let it go here and there. And this ascetic effort that we engage in during Great Lent and throughout the year is this effort to bring that inner life that belongs inside of us but has escaped, as it were, back inside of us. One of the images that St. John gives is when we place ourselves in situations where we're going to lose this, he said it's like taking a birdcage and opening the door and the birds fly out. That's what is happening to us. Our mind, our inner life, our thoughts are flying out and going every which way. It's important to note that when he gives us this definition that Hesychus is one who fights to keep the incorporeal self, the incorporeal being, the mind, the soul, within himself, within his body. He uses the word fight. It's a struggle. It's a challenge. It doesn't happen easily. It doesn't happen with a certain amount of time, as if it's just a natural process, and in time it will take place. No, it takes a battle. And it's a spiritual battle. And so we're reminded of St. Paul's words to the Ephesians that our battle is not against flesh and blood. Whenever we're battling against flesh and blood, we're fighting the wrong battle. For anger is upset at other people. And you can see it very clearly in light of St. John's words, because when we're upset or angry, focused on other people, our mind's not inside of us, it's outside of us. We're carrying on thoughts and ruminations about what's going on out there. We're fighting the wrong battle, certainly not a spiritual battle. The spiritual battle, St. Paul says, is against principalities and powers, against the passions, against those inner realities that are pulling us away from God and distracting us. And so, this life of stillness is necessary if we're going to really have communion with God, and to achieve it, to obtain it, is a great struggle, a great fight, a great battle, but one that is focused on our own inner life in the sense that we're the battleground. It's as if God and Satan are fighting over us, and we're the battleground that's being fought for. Our way of engaging in that battle is to let ourselves go within. St. John distinguishes between the stillness of the soul, stillness of the body, and stillness of the soul. We'll never obtain stillness of the soul as long as our body is active in various ways. So one thing we might think he has in mind is just to be able to sit down, not to be running around with activities. But he describes it as a little bit more than that. He says stillness of the body is the knowledge and management of one's feelings and sensory perceptions. So to be still in body means that we're not letting our eyes or our ears, our sensory sources for input, be pulled away into the things of this world. You can think about it very practically when you're trying to be still of body. You have this great yearning to turn on the TV or the radio, look on the computer, social media. Maybe even to do something like just go for a walk and look for the birds or the flowers. These are good things to do. It's a fine thing to do. But we'll often see that it's taking us outside of ourselves if we're using that as a kind of escape. And so the stillness of the body comes when we try to settle down and fulfill this pull, this urge, this yearning to fill ourselves with something else from the outside. That's what the senses are, these sort of gateways, these doorways in which things from the outside come into us. And he wants us to close those off for a little bit of time. Stillness of the body closes those off, and that allows us to calm our emotions, our feelings. Stillness of the soul, he says, is this knowledge and management of our thoughts. Once we find ourselves cut off from the sensory input, we might experience that our thoughts start to rage within us. All kinds of things come to mind, and there are things that are outside of us. Even if we've cut our senses off from looking or seeing or hearing, smelling, the things that are outside of us, our thoughts will go outside of us, evaluating, criticizing, maybe even praising, but still things that are outside of us. Satan often tempts us by good things to distract us from the one needful thing, just to be still in Christ's presence. So this battle takes place, that we'll experience it as we try to become still. We'll feel in a kind of intensification. St. John makes it very clear that stillness is the one thing that the demons hate, because they know that it's this foundation of theology, this foundation of communion with God, experience of God. So they'll do everything that they can. And every bit as bad as that is we've habituated ourselves to distraction, to activity to distract us. Brother Roman lamented to me many times about our culture. It is so hard for us to be still, and especially the young children. They learn it from us, of course. But it was heartbreaking to him. It wasn't a judgment or a criticism. It was just heartbreaking to him because he knew how important it was to learn how to be still. So we need to engage in that battle. St. John tells us that when we do engage in it, we'll be attacked. And he particularly points to three periods of time during the day when we'll be attacked. There's no sort of certain rule about this, but he says that in the mornings, we'll tend to be attacked by vainglory, concerned about ourselves, concerned about what other people think of us, wanting to appear important, feeling offended or hurt that somebody didn't acknowledge us, whatever it might be. In the afternoon, he says that we tend to be attacked and afflicted with feelings of despondency, gloominess, the heaviness, depression, and out of that will arise again to anger, irritability. Maybe we're not getting done what we wanted to get done that day. Maybe we don't feel so successful. Maybe we feel kind of alone and separated, whatever it might be. But this sense of turning in on ourselves in a negative way results in this heaviness, despondency, discouragement. What the psalmist calls the noonday demon. And then in the evening, St. John says that we'll often be afflicted by gluttony, desire for food or drink. All of these things are just distractions from this communion. And whether it's these things or something else, like envy or greed or slothfulness, whatever it might be, when we engage in this battle for stillness, we'll find ourselves attacked and St. John makes it clear, violently attacked. Because the demons know that this will be the doorstep, the entryway into this communion with our God. So we have to be willing to persist, to endure in that struggle. Sure, maybe we'll fall, but then we have to get up again if we err, if we give in to the distraction. One very practical and tangible thing you can do is take the hours of the day that are given to us, the first, third, sixth, and ninth hour, and the evening prayer, like the Compline, and do just a few minutes, 5 minutes. Just take that period of time and for 5 minutes, say the Jesus prayer or say the prayer of the hours. Just try to settle down with your body, turn everything else in the house off. And to do that, separate it throughout the day, and if we do that, we'll notice that we feel this sort of inner urge, this pull to go out from ourselves. And these are really just the temptations, both habituated in us and foisted upon us by the demons. The way that St. John puts it on several occasions is that when we find ourselves in this battle, we'll want to run to the crowd. And whether the crowd is simply going out from our room and talking to someone, or turning on the radio, or turning on the computer, or going for a walk, whatever it is, it's going out from this period of the inner life, of looking in, of being quiet, of trying to let God be the stillness of our soul. And then finally, St. John gives us a sort of a sense of this process that this ongoing battle takes from beginning to end. And he said it begins like this. When we begin this battle for stillness, we have to flee noise wherever it is. We have to turn everything off, radios and TVs and computers and close the curtains and whatever it is that might distract us. We have to go out of our way to avoid the noise, because noise is distraction. We're at the beginning. But he says that when we come to the end, when we've really acquired this stillness, when we've gone through this battle, for those who are able to reach this point, he says we come to be unaffected by the noise. We can be in the crowd. We can be in the activity of this world and retain that inner stillness, not be pulled away out of our inner life to the things of the world, so that we become free of anger, of judgment, of envy, free of our mind, our soul going out from us by the temptations of the world to distract us. So early on, we have to take these more strict precautions to cut ourselves off from those external stimuli that distract us. But if we're persistent, he tells us we'll come to a place where those external stimuli won't distract us, because we'll be so settled, so rooted, so comfortable. He says that we'll enjoy the sweetness of that communion with God so much so that we wouldn't dare go out from that home within us. So through the prayers of St. John, may he lead us on this path of inner stillness as we continue on our journey to Holy Pascha. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.